The footage of Triple M.
The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And don't you love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
For Kogan Mobile. Switch to Kogan Mobile for $2.90 for 30 days with a big 20 gig of data.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Friday night footy coming to you from Optus in the West. We often talk about the size of the game of football on Friday night. Gets no bigger really as we try and sort out the top four. Melbourne taking on the Fremantle Dockers at home. Huge lead up to that one. We got Chiefs quiz. The cult hero is the big man Spider Burton. Alan Richardson will join us. Justin Longmuir as well. Xavier Ellis will speak to him. Nate's got the top five, which he's been talking about all week, which I'm really looking forward to. Chiefs got the quiz. And there's a lot of blokes running off into little areas organising audio, which does concern me. So we'll start with the captain, as always. Darce, just a strange feeling amongst the team.
Hello, Howard. A genuine feel of unease in the Friday Huddle group at the moment. There's a lot of people that aren't looking people in the eye. There's a few snipers that I feel are ready to go, which, it's created a general feeling of discontent. However, we're about to get into it.
Chief's here. Hello, Chief.
Hello, gentlemen. I thought it was, this is the first time I've been in the new studios, and it's magnificent, it's plush, it's luxurious, it's beautifully appointed. Mm. I thought it was the impact of the new studio until I sat around the table and there's five blokes refusing to talk about the show that we're about to go into, which means everyone's about to ambush everybody else. And I'm just trying to work out which corner it's coming from. Well, so anyway, we'll wait and see.
I think we've got an extra segment. We've got an extra 10 minutes tonight. So I'm looking forward to your top five, Nate, because I know you've been working on it all week. And
I don't have a top five, Howard. I haven't got one this week. It just doesn't happen every week, okay?
It has.
It has 17 rounds.
For 10 years you've been doing it.
Yeah, but not tonight.
We just couldn't be bothered this week.
It's been a busy week, Howard.
Oh, doing what?
It's everyone's favourite segment.
No, it's not.
Big week for the Shakers.
I've had the kids all week. Christina's been up at the snow for 3 days, so I had the kids all week.
Spends
so
a lot of time on her own, Christina.
Doesn't preclude you from a top five, though, just having the kids. People function
with kids.
You look
like a Smurf tonight.
Don't people function with kids?
You look like a Smurf.
Nathan, do people function
with
kids?
You've got a massive blue top on and you look ridiculous.
Do people function with kids, Nate?
Yes.
Right.
So what happened to you? Christina's up there a lot, isn't she? She got friends up there at the snow? Or
she was getting away from Nate.
Which was lucky.
That's what they all say.
It surely couldn't be me tonight that you're going after. It's been five or six weeks in a row.
It's not so much going after.
We haven't drilled down to what made you so busy this week that you couldn't do a top five. Or is it just complete apathy for the show and for the blokes you're working with?
I've got many roles, Chief.
Got many roles.
I've got four kids and I coach two netball sides. It is a really busy week.
Still hasn't explained.
I work for Sportsbet, I work for Channel 9.
Do you have less kids or netball teams any other week?
No, I've got the same kids every week.
Damien Barrett is here also. A man's very busy. Hello to you, Damo.
Hello, Howard. I love how we've got a couple of WhatsApp groups for this group. We've got the one with Juddy still in it. We've got the one with Chief. And what's emerged over the course of 2022 is these individual splinter WhatsApp groups where one of us is not in it. And it's a worry because I've seen all four of you talking together today since I've been here, and it does worry me a bit about what may happen in the next 2 hours. But at the same time, well, there's a bit coming back
It's all positive. We must point out, though, that on the WhatsApp group that Juddy is in, it has a 24-hour delete button.
It does, for obvious reasons.
It lasts 24 hours, and then it is gone for good. I think the best way to start, Darcy, is with some positive feedback for a member of our group. Now, for a long time now, we've talked about Nathan's.
Here we go.
At least it's not me.
Nathan's appearance on Open Mic, which I loved it because I love Showtime and I love confidence. When Nathan famously said this.
Those first 10 weeks of 2005, I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL. Michael Voss was playing, Buckley was playing, these amazing players, but I don't think anybody was having the influence I was having.
Thank you, Leroy.
He still loves hearing that
second part.
Look at that arrogance of it.
It gets better.
Better with each listen. You're right.
You said when you came in, I've had my fair share, and I hope you're not coming after me. We're here to support you, Nate.
Yeah, but this would be good.
This was a message that we received.
I had just won five games off my own boot.
It is funny you say that, actually, because Michael Walsh has sent this through, part of the Triple M family, looks like a nice guy, father of three. And he says, we hear Nathan often say how he's the best player in the AFL for 6 weeks or whatever it was, 10 weeks.
I just said it once.
Has anyone like Champion Data analysed that season and able to report whether Nathan Brown is full of shit or not? So
that's not a swear, Duke.
I'm just reading out the tweet that came through.
So you and Chief have done some statistical deep diving.
Hey, don't try and throw me under the bus.
Well, Darcy has.
Well, we got two men to have a look at the numbers, is what we did.
The data.
Nate.
The data.
And so the data doesn't lie.
Line by line, and Chief, you're the 1254 man. You need to analyse what's gone on and whether his claims are real or not.
So you go straight away to Impact, don't you? And which Stu's done, and he sort of looked at champion data, has had a look at the first 10 rounds.
So we're going to go off champion data.
Well, that's where the data comes from.
No
in terms of Impact and number one Impact that
there's
year.
Elite players in champion data stats at the moment in the AFL who shouldn't even be getting a game.
We're trying to help you, Nathan. Just listen. I think,
They are recognised as the most used stats in the game.
Preeminent. Yeah.
So in front of Nate for those 10 rounds, Spider Everett, Luke Hodge, Shane Crawford, Lindsay Gilbey, Nick Stevens, Ben Cousins, Nick Dalsando, Matthew Pavlich, Dean Cox, Peter Bell, Shannon Grant, Luke Ball. And Nate came in at 13th.
As
all
what?
Good players.
The 13th
all
really
good players.
13th impact of...
13th most impactful,
player for
those
first 10
weeks.
Rounds of the season. So,
okay.
Which is a solid
who are some of those blokes in front of him?
Spider Everett, Luke Hodge, Shane Crawford.
Good players.
Your mate Lindsay Gilbey.
Yeah, former teammate.
Very good player.
In those 10 rounds, Nate, you had one tackle.
When you got the ball as much as what I had at you, you don't tackle that much.
You're saying as much as you had, you averaged 20 disposals. And that's not a lot. I mean, it's okay, but it's not a lot. Like, it's not precluding you from tackling.
Right. In the forward half of the ground, Chief.
Tackles were
so about the 3.5 goals on average to go with that.
If you're the most influential player in the competition for 10 rounds, you'd sort of go, you'd be having a really good night, Brownlow night. You'd be sitting there Brownlow night.
That's where you're rewarded for your hard work.
Well, hang on a moment. You just said you averaged 3.5 goals a game.
It was around that, Chief. I'd kick 34, I think, after 10 rounds.
That's great. 3.4. Exactly. So it's 3.4. Okay.
Sorry, Chief.
Which wasn't leading the competition.
Oh, what was leading the competition?
Wasn't even the leading goalkeeper.
No, it wasn't the leading goalkeeper.
Who was leading
goalkeeper? Mark Williams had 42.
Oh, right. The shotgun.
The shotgun, yes.
Gee, so
he was averaging 4.2 a game.
Correct.
And Nathan was at?
I think he missed a couple of games.
3.4, but apparently being a lot more influential than everybody else.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that'd be good on Brownlow night for Nate up to around 10. You sit there and you know, I've banked a couple of three voters in those 10 rounds?
So you're probably thinking he's somewhere between 15 and 20 votes, wouldn't he be?
Out in front.
Well, 10 rounds, if you're dominating the competition, absolutely.
Yeah, fair point,
Total votes for the first 10 rounds for Nate, 7.
I think Ben Cousins won it with 19, so it was a tough year to get votes.
7 votes.
Well, they weren't handing out threes that year.
The year I wrote my speech, I was well in front of that at the halfway mark of the year. It's 7. Starting to get a little bit
disturbing. What was the breakdown of the 7?
He did get
a 3 vote. In round 8.
A 3?
Do you remember that game?
Was it the Clement game?
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Yes, I think he knows.
He nodded before he said yes, I think so.
Yeah, he did go on and say the most impactful player in the competition.
I said influential, not impactful.
So, Damo.
Just before you go on, let's just clarify. I mean, he was the third ranked player for Richmond.
At his own club?
Yeah. So there were a couple at his own club that were going better than
him. Really pulling out stats that have no backing to them, have you?
You've just made that up completely. The numbers. No, mate.
I think goal average is a genuine stat.
I think Joel Belden was ahead of you.
Who would it be on this show to make something up, Brownie? But this is what we've been sent.
I think tackles are a legitimate stat.
I think Joel Belden was ahead of you.
Champion data points.
Third best player at
his own club.
So when's the funny stuff coming?
Right.
It's a serviceable 10 rounds.
I went to the data too, Howie.
Oh, yes.
From a journalistic perspective, there's measurements we can do about storylines at the time.
Four eyes?
Yeah, there are.
Column inches.
There's search engines, and they've got very developed and scientific over the years, and they're now algorithmically based. So I was able to punch in impact sort of search engine topics. And Brownie didn't fare all that well.
Right.
It was a year in which the Sydney and West Coast rivalry took off to us, and that was the dominant sort of on-field storyline. You had the Gary Ablett, Willie B in the Hall of Fame storyline.
Oh, yes.
That too was dominant. Chappelle Corby was about to be sentenced for her issues, and that was the major story. Russell Crowe had actually been arrested in a New York hotel for throwing a phone.
You got Dame to bring this stuff to the table.
Brownie's come in at a 6.3% overall,
6.3%
behind all of those.
Yes. Inches.
And there's even some spare room in the scrapbook for Michelle Brown. Yeah, so you didn't have to work too hard.
But I thought
had something to go with, and this is what you've got.
I thought, Howie, we'd go to the man who actually did the interview at the time.
Oh.
With Nathan Brown.
Mike Sheen.
Open mic. The great Mike Sheen.
Right.
And just to let him know what we're doing.
Okay.
And because we know that he'd be on board with us as well. So
yes.
I've only just got that email, that return message as we're starting to talk, so I haven't heard this.
Oh, so you're bringing audio to the table.
Audio.
From Mike Sheen.
I've given the audio to Snorkel, who's given it to Leroy, who's going to play it now.
Potentially play it.
Something that's been put together.
Just relax, mate. Relax.
Hey, Damo, you're not going to like this, but I'm firmly in Brownie's corner on this one. I don't care what your investigation comes up with. I love the Brown interview on Open Mic. Pity more of the blokes on your panel weren't as honest as he is. They preen themselves in private, then go all shy and coy at the microphone or on telly, pretending to be modest. And they know who they are. One of them was not there tonight, actually. Nathan was the most dynamic player going around when he broke his leg in 2005. In fact, had he stayed fit, the Tigers might have won the flag. They were 7-2 going into the Melbourne game when he was injured and finished 10-12. Sorry I can't help you blokes do your hatchet job on Brownie, but I'm the chairman of his fan club.
Wow. For accuracy good. Point of view, Mike said all. I think everyone would. If you bumped into Mike, Mike's no longer.
Well, we have to. We're relying on statistical evidence.
That didn't quite
Mike
go the way
is 92, and he has 9 bottles of red a day.
7-2, and they won 2 more games, Chief.
We were hoping Mike would come to the table in the party with us, but he just stayed true to his journalistic prowess.
No, he's not. How do you reckon this is going with for you?
I mean,
it hasn't been funny. I don't think anybody driving their car has laughed at this yet.
Oh, really?
I think you're
the beacon of your other stations right now.
If you look back and you had to dime again, would you double down with the best player in the game?
Absolutely, Duke. Without a doubt. Oh, we need one that many games off of my own boot. There was a game against Brisbane. I kicked the last 2, kicked last 5 against Collingwood, won the game against Hawthorn in round 2. They put Campbell Brown on me. That was a mistake. Jimmy Clement, that was a mistake. And then they put some Thornton guy on me from Fremantle. I had 32 and kicked 2 goals 4. Everything was going well until I snapped my leg.
Mike did say that some players tend to get a bit modest when they go in for his interviews, but he said, not Nathan.
Nah.
He's happy to tell us exactly how good he is.
Were you on a table at some stage?
A what?
Were you standing on a table at some stage in a pub declaring, go with me?
I was with Richo. I said that I was going to win the Brownlow and he was going to win the Coleman and we're going to win the premiership for them. Then we walked to
the motel
back in the old days. Yeah. And then we went to play the next week on a Friday night. And that was 6 days before. So from standing on a table proclaiming that we're going to win the premiership and the Brownlow and that all and sundry, I broke my leg 5 days later.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Were you the jumper or the pole vault?
Triple M rocks footy.
For Kogan Mobile, this is the Triple M Friday Huddle. Switch to Kogan Mobile for $2.90 for 30 days with a big 20 gig of data. Melbourne versus Fremantle is your game. Spider Burton not far away. Alan Richardson, Justin Longmuir, Xavier Ellis as well. And I think
now, how are
we
you?
Need to talk football for a change, well, Damo. So let's get stuck into some analysis.
Not yet, Howie. Just, I don't consume more things to do as much as I do. I get sent stuff, Howie, a lot these days. And when this was sent to me, I started thinking of our great mate, Spud Frawley, who would, I think, bring back the golden trumpet in this instance. And it's been an escalation over a long period of time, Howie. And I looked at you. I think... You've caught a bit of a wave in life, Howie, and sometimes that wave comes crashing down at the end. And we hope it doesn't, but I think you get treated on how you went when you were catching that particular
Absolutely.
Wave, Howie. And so
I treat people very well.
Some fresh, well, yeah, that, very that's well. A concern. Now, there's some concern that you'll do anything for cash at the moment as well, Howie. That there is nothing
for cash.
For cash. There is nothing beyond your realms that you won't do. Is that resonating or not?
My brain.
Well, there's been a bit of a history.
You've
been prepared to put your name to a lot of things over in recent times, haven't you? Because you're on fire. People want to get a piece of Howie at the moment.
That bit's true. You're speaking sense now.
The humility doesn't get well.
Well,
I think
listen,
we might have it. Yeah. You've got a timeline of stuff that you've endorsed.
Oh, timeline now. This will be good.
G'day, Mark Howard here. Us Aussies, well, we know our sport. And we want a betting app that knows it too. Enter Bluebet. They're Aussies, so they know what Aussies want. Howie here, enjoying the new Red Rooster Lamb Roll. Yes, Red Rooster does lamb. Good news, Manscaped has just launched in Australia. There's been too many stories in the past about fellas doing themselves damage in the below-the-belt region simply because they didn't have the right grooming gear. Manscaped, precision engineering tools for your family jewels.
Hi folks, Mark Howard here. Experts recognise experts. That's why for decades, the best mechanics have chosen Pettis products for their customers' brakes, steering and suspension needs.
Bluebet went out of business shortly after that endorsement, by the way. Our old mate Chris Judd used to say you can't eat integrity, and that's a good thing because I think Howie's just about out of eating his way through whatever integrity was left. But Howie, you're making some money.
Yeah. Then you found some loopholes in the government. During COVID, everybody was under the pump. During COVID, you had all these cash payments coming in, and you didn't know how much money was. You didn't know how to spend it.
Quote unquote, Chief. He said, and you were there, Chief. Yeah. You heard this. He said, "I've got that many piles of money, and I have nowhere to spend it."
He actually said he couldn't spend.
I couldn't go on a holiday, is what I said, Chief, because the Premier wouldn't let us out of the state.
Piles of money that I can't spend was.
And the only reason I knew about those loopholes is because you told me about every single one of them, Nathan.
How he just sometimes need to take this. This is here in your corner to support you.
It always does. And the ego is. It's totally out of control, isn't it, Brownie? It's just totally, as our great mate Spud would have said, if Howie was an icy pole, he would be licking himself right now.
And I hope there's a humorous part coming at some stage.
You've gone from being the second backup boundary rider at Triple M only 4 years ago to thinking you're an equal to the cricketers and the footballers you play with. And there's a show that you do on Saturday nights that we don't know is on, and a lot of other people don't know is on, but you're so comfortable now in hosting this show that you consider yourself a combination of Bert Newton, Don Lane and Lou Richards. This is what you dared put to air last Saturday night.
On Best on Ground, is it?
I think it's
that. That was the 90s, which was good, boys. You did well. But in 1989, the greatest grand final of all time was played. It was the Hawks knocking over the Cats by 6 points. Also, in 1989, a song was written by a fella called Billy Joel. The song was called We Didn't Start the Fire, Nathan. And it went a little bit like this.
Kerry Ayres, Rodney E.
Warwick Kappa, Derby B.
Dacos, Disco.
Dippy and Domenico.
Super Boo, Tony Shaw.
Hawthorne with another four.
Big V.
S.A.
What up?
So do you want me to respond?
We think we need an intervention, Howie.
Well, but before you intervene, so the show's called
Don't get all serious and defensive.
It's the highest rating show.
Oh, here we go.
That Fox has ever had.
On a Saturday night.
Here we go.
That's the wave I'm talking about.
Isn't it, Chief?
When you talk about yourself
show's going well.
In that way,
with Nathan,
that's the wave we're talking about, the crashes into the rocks.
But what I want to explain, before you start your little intervention, what you don't understand, specifically you, Damo, that
now we're getting personal.
Media is the entertainment business.
No, we do understand that part of it, but we're waiting for that part
You
of
need
it.
To bring some sizzle and go out on a limb. And I know you do your boring stuff on the footy show. Let's be honest, Stas.
I listened to you on a
Saturday night, and you have no sizzle in anything
Correct.
You do.
Correct.
And as for you, Mr. Botox, I've watched and listened to you for 5 years and still not laughed. The only one of you here that understands entertainment is my man, the Chief. And I'm following his path. And we are entertaining the people on a Saturday night. And I stick by what we did there with Nathan. And I thought it was outstanding, entertaining television, Chief.
Chief, you got to tell him,
mate. You'll agree, Chief.
Bring him down gently.
I know you'll agree, Chief.
I think the show's going well. It is growing big time. Howie's going very, very well.
I agree with that.
But don't sing.
But that might be the thing.
Going well, Howie. I do watch it every Saturday, and I do like it.
Stole something off Rove McManus. The whole give your mum a hug. You know, you want to hug her and hope money falls out so you can pick it all up.
As I said, Nathan, you haven't said anything funny in 5 years.
These blokes
and
just
laugh.
The greatest concern, I think, from my perspective, Howie, is that it appears.
What does it appear, Chief?
That.
You know I love you, Jason.
I love you too.
And he needs to say this to you, Howie.
I'm concerned that you're too big to hang with us, from what I'm hearing.
Maybe.
Well, I'm only going on what's been reported. So
what's been reported? Because I read some interesting articles about you this week that was reported.
You travelled to Sydney, correct?
I did travel to Sydney.
Yeah. And you're up there on behalf of Listener, was it?
Mm.
Right.
Promoting the podcast
with
platform.
A lot of big wigs.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is really interesting. So you flew up there. But are some of your comments that I guess cut deepest?
Personally.
Which cut. Comments?
Speaking about why he loves podcasting so much, Howard said.
Oh, where'd you get this from?
For me, yeah. I work as a broadcaster on radio and TV,
yeah.
which is absolutely brilliant, but it doesn't have the same connectivity. It doesn't have the same intimacy that podcasting
See,
does.
We thought we had a connection, Howie.
I thought we were all on the sort of one team and, you know, we go into bat for each other each week and we try to create a great product, but this isn't enough for your barrel.
Spud would say it's about me, and only me.
Can I explain some context behind those comments, Jason?
No, please.
So Listener is a burgeoning organisation. And me as their number one boy.
This is the wave that will crack. And then one day,
woo the advertisers.
You'll say, we were there, mate, to
so
say
you're
to you.
Number one over Hamish and Andy.
Well, Hamish and Andy are too big to go to these functions, so that's why they're
Howie, it was 6 years ago that Hutchie sacked you off Ballarat Radio on Croc Media.
And it was one of the greatest mistakes he's ever made, and he'll look back and understand that.
So,
but you have to tell the people what they want to hear. They wanted to hear that podcasting is the future, so that's what I told them,
Chief. When the wave crashes and you land and get a mouthful of sand, it's your mates who pick you up there.
That's true.
It's a good comeback, though. He's promoting an event, and you've got to actually give the people what they want at those.
And I understand that about the wave, but the way I look at life, Darce, it's nice to be on the wave. Like a lot of people like yourself, you never get the wave. Well, so if the wave crashes, that's okay, but at least point. I can look back and say I was on the wave.
That's right. No, I'm comfortable with that.
And I don't think you blokes are even at the beach. Well, let alone
the only feeling at the moment, Howard, is that you're on a big wave.
It doesn't become you.
You're in a barrel.
Yep.
You're doing a handstand,
yep.
and you're pulling your dacks down to brown eye everyone. It's just that you might be getting a little ahead of yourself.
That's
Howard.
A touch of the vibe.
Will Gilly be there for you when you crash?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think Gilly will be there.
Will Steve Smith be there for you? Because you know that we will be.
No, I don't think you blokes will be.
We're trying to be in your corner, mate. I appreciate the feedback, and I just hope
we put some context around it.
Doing our best to try and help you there, Howie, because it all changes. It ebbs and flows. Life ebbs and flows. We just hope that when it does, you've got some humility.
As I said,
you're prone to a laugh.
Chief and I understand entertainment. You blokes don't, and that was pretty evident from that segment. We're going to take a break here.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
Beautiful finish.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Hot water needs replacing. Go for one that's steady, hot and strong. It's Australia's favourite water heater. You know who we're talking about. Built tough for Aussie conditions and manufacturing right here in Australia for over 80 years. 80 years when it comes to water heating. Ask your plumber to install a room. Alan Richardson, Spider Burton, Justin Longmuir, all not too far away. But
does the feedback have an impact, Howard? It doesn't seem as though you enjoy it. Is it because you didn't play team sport that you don't have...
Are we still going?
Just recapping. If you just joined us, how we were just getting a little bit of feedback.
I love feedback.
It was good for you.
Yeah,
don't appear to take it well.
I get it constantly. You're not on social media, are you?
No.
So
he's a podcaster.
So which ones?
Has he got a podcast?
He's got a few. He's got a couple.
Didn't he start one that disappeared?
Yeah.
That's true.
What's happened now?
He's got the second one now.
You should tune in, Chief. I think it'd be good for you.
I was looking for you at the Listener Launch.
Part two.
You didn't get invited to that one, Howie.
Right,
yeah, working.
How many episodes?
He had Ange Postecoglou on a couple of weeks ago. Very good.
That'd be very good.
Remember, he threw to an interview we're doing, Chief? He threw to his own podcast with Ange as part of an interview with someone else.
Danny Laidley was with us, actually.
He was very passionate about coaching.
You're doing the same sort of podcast that Howie does?
No. Very different.
The leadership space.
Is it similar to what Juddy's doing in the podcast world?
He's had a few too.
He's in the world of finance, Juddy.
Mine and Darcy's is very, very different for one
simple
reason.
What sets you aside from all those other million leadership podcasts that are out there?
About a sense of purpose, Chief, and it's reflecting back into a passion space, Chief, and connecting people together. So I think it's a forum. I enjoy my company of you guys on a Friday, though. So I'm
Empowered Leaders, a fantastic show.
You should do a podcast, Chief.
No.
I think you should.
I need another one to listen to, so maybe I'll tune into Duke's. Give it a run.
Have you listened to Mason Cox this week on Australia's number one sporting podcast, The Howie Games, or not?
That was good, Howie. I haven't heard all of it, but I've heard a bit of it.
Right. Okay. Just on the feedback, because you're not on social media. Jump on social media after you commentate a game of football. I don't mean you. I mean anyone.
Feedback.
I think in the
Will
modern...
Will it be positive for me or not?
Typically, no. I think what happens now is... Your team loses. You used to kick the cat. Now,
whoa.
you yell at the TV.
Yeah, we don't kick cats, mate.
No, don't.
Well,
no
well that, you don't anymore. No. So that's what I'm saying. What you do is jump on Instagram and send direct messages.
We ever kick cats.
Send direct messages to commentators.
Maybe people from Terrell.
Really? So you get in real time, and this is interesting, before we get to Chiefs quiz.
That doesn't seem fair, though.
You get direct feedback on.
I would get I'd get 10 messages after every game, direct messages on Instagram. Team A and Team B. Five of them, I can't believe how much you are biased against Team A. The other five are, I can't believe how much you are biased against Team B. Do you want me to name the state?
I know you and I have discussed this before. Our friends in Western Australia get very, very
Australian viewers are more passionate, Chief, than any other football supporter.
Really?
Yes.
So I think there's this sense that, you've heard that, Chief, that if your side's losing and you're calling the game to get excited, you feel like the commentator's barracking against
the other team.
Do you reckon that's an interesting observation, Damo, or not?
It's the way the world works. It's the way it works. People don't want to be happy at all.
So what people need to understand, now we're talking about this, as a commentator working on a sport, all you want is a close game.
Yep. You barrack for the result. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that, because that's your profession, that's your job, and that makes it better.
Well, when you don't get to dictate if someone takes a high mark or kicks a goal, you actually just can only call what's in front of you, really.
So I think what we're saying for all those out there that send direct messages,
through.
We don't need them anymore.
Yeah, keep sending
we don't need them anymore.
I don't get why people get so upset. I don't.
Yeah.
As a general rule, I don't take much notice of the commentators unless they absolutely butcher it. I'm watching the game.
How are you? There's a block button on as well, which you need to
maybe
embrace.
It's like masochism. You take it on board.
No, you don't.
And you go through
just
it.
Just ignore it.
But great commentary can make a really good moment even better with that great commentary. And I think the great commentators are able to do that, Chief.
Have we got any?
I think Bruce McAvaney was probably the best at it.
No, he means here at Triple M.
Triple M?
Something closer
better.
To home, I think. Hey, Triple M? About.
I think we've got great commentators. We've got these two that commentate tonight.
I'm not sure we're great, let's be fair.
So
we're middle-of-the-road operators at best. Jim's good.
just throw it out there.
Who's your favourite? We're going way off script. Now, who's your favourite football commentator, Chief?
I don't have one because I don't generally take that much notice of
Damo, who's your favourite?
Jim.
Jim? Brownie?
Yeah, I like Jim.
Do you know what? The late Clinton Gribus was an outstanding caller of the game. It was a great pleasure to work alongside him.
I think Mark Howard's very good.
Yours, Howie?
Jim, by a long way. Jim, by a long way. I think Hutto is
very good.
I think it's on TV. Jim or Radio Jim?
Radio Jim.
Radio Jim's my favourite.
TV Hutto.
The Pipe, Dwayne Russell, very good caller of the Pipe.
He goes very good.
Particularly well.
All right, shall we do the quiz?
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is quite interesting, Chief.
Is this dude on the line, is he?
Have we exhausted this topic?
Well, not until you tell who's your favourite.
I just said I don't have one.
How about another sport?
I said Mark Howard's good.
You watch sport all around the world.
What about Joe Buck in the States?
Yeah, who's your best worldwide?
He's my favourite.
You love your golf.
Broadcaster.
You love your...
Jimmy Nance.
English Premier League soccer, Chief.
Martin Tyler.
You do this all day, Chief.
See, Martin Tyler, I used to... Absolutely do. I thought he was the doyen of all commentators for many years.
Very good.
I listened to that podcast, which was magnificent.
Thank you, Chief. Phil Liggett, also very good.
Phil Liggett, brilliant, yeah.
Is Bruce the best in Australia?
Yeah.
Pound for pound.
Yeah. Like,
he'll be on the Commonwealth Games in the next few days.
Sandy Roberts was a damn good caller as well.
Yes.
He would make an ordinary moment sound better.
It's a good point.
Golden voice too, Sandals.
So you could have done a top five if you could have been bothered this week to prepare. You could have just
I've actually got something in place of the top five, so that'll come up after this quiz.
Are you doing something now?
Have we got someone hanging on to do the quiz, Gary?
And I want to know who their favourite commentator is.
She's being rude.
All right, it's time for...
He's looking at it, Chief.
Tonight...
You're an imbecile of a man.
Two contestants face off in radio's most hostile quiz.
The depths of your stupidity have yet to be discovered.
As we look back at the week and tell you, you'd better be on your game.
And yes, this is a direct rip-off of Have You Been Paying Attention?
Now, here's your host, Jason Dunstall.
And joining us on the line, we've got Steve from Mount Martha, and I'd like to take this opportunity, Steve, to apologise for how self-indulgent these blokes just became when we were ready to do the quiz. You were waiting patiently. We finally get to you. How are you, mate?
Yeah, waited long enough.
You're a little bit flat too, Steve. Who's your favourite commentator, Steve?
Hutto.
There you go.
Hard to argue with Hutto. Some of us don't care that much. All right. We've got a 10-question quiz, Steve. It's basically things that have happened this week or are happening this week. You're taking on Nathan Brown. Use your name as your buzzer, please. Give it a run. There we go.
There we go. Well done.
What should we give Nathan this week?
Little arms last time, wasn't it?
Little Botox boy.
Little dinosaur arms or something. Botox boy, yeah.
Toy robot is your name this week.
Toy robot.
Okay, there we go. Toy
robot. I've had a busy week, so I'm not quite up on the current affairs.
Here we go.
Go on, Stevie.
Question one. The Commonwealth Games are being
held. Toy robot. Birmingham.
He's off to
fly. That's all right, Steve. That's all right.
Come on, Steve.
Settle down, Steve.
And he's sledging him as well. Who this weekend plays game number
three? Robert.
Nathan.
Joel Selwood.
He can't see through that, can he?
Come on, Stevie. It's either him or Andrew Gaff at 250.
Audio question. Who is the Prime Minister referring to here?
I wish him well. As Leader of the Opposition, I hope he stays there for a very, very long time.
Come on, Steve.
So who is the Leader of the Opposition?
He's obviously got a profile problem, whoever he is.
Dutton.
Toy robot. He said Dutton.
Steve, correct. Okay. Yeah, well done, Steve.
Well. Darcy's mate.
Peter Dutton. He hit the buzzer, just didn't make the sound properly. That's all right. So we got 2-1.
How's he going, Darcy?
Going particularly
well.
The fact of that pause that no one knew the answer, I think is exactly how he's going at the moment, Dave, mate.
All right, here we go. Which NRL team had 7 players?
Toy robot.
Stephen.
Steve.
Manly.
That was Nate. He did give him
3-1, Chief.
Look at how he is with himself, too.
Yes. Another audio question. You need to tell me who's using a little bit of spicy Italian language here.
Yeah, Lando. Un stronzo, no?
No, non si dice, no.
No? Non posso?
No, it's a bad word.
Really? Yes. Like, really bad?
Anyone?
Toy robot.
Oh, Steve, there you go. Steve. When, what did you say, Steve?
That's the lady at the pizza shop.
Doing material, Steve.
Nathan?
No, it was
in fact Daniel Ricciardo. Famous Australian Formula.
No, that was really easy, that one.
One driver. Okie doke.
3-1, Chief. Just some random Australian bloke talking Italian.
He's a random Australian bloke, is he?
But he was talking to Lando, who's his teammate, so it was reasonably obvious.
Okay. Duran Duran closed the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony. Name one of their big hits.
Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Girls Gone Wild.
Robot boy.
Girls Gone Wild.
Girls on film.
He's been looking at some other material.
Is that a remote?
Girls on film.
Of course he had to choose that one.
Must have been on the B-side, Chief. That one.
Hang on. What did you actually say, Stephen?
You can't give it to him, Chief. As much as we'd like to, you can't.
He didn't say girls on film?
No, he said something else. He said girls, but...
We'll scratch that question.
So no score there. Right, fair enough. So it's 4-1. No, 3-1.
How many years... Was Neighbours on air?
Steve.
Steve just got in.
37.
Right. Really, me. You cheat.
3-2.
3-2. Nathan's in front.
Three questions to go.
Playing for a meal at the fine establishment. Melbourne Public, by the way.
100%.
The winner.
100%.
Best pub in Melbourne.
Which band jetted
Tor Robert.
In... Nathan.
The Strokes.
Incorrect. Oh. I'll finish the question for you, Stephen. Which band jetted into Melbourne for a private one-off show? The Killers, that is correct.
Three all.
Coming home hard.
Tunnicliffe.
Two questions to go. Two questions to go. Audio question. You need to tell me what this golf fan did at the Evian Championships.
Big miss by Korda.
Yeah, ball was.
Whoa!
No!
It's not a souvenir. No. It's not...
He went and picked it up, put it in his pocket.
Oh, hang on. Technicality, Chief.
She?
Yes. Steve?
Stephen?
He picked it up.
Oh.
She
picked it up.
She picked it up?
Both wrong.
Steve corrected himself.
No, both wrong.
So what's the score, Howie?
Three all with one question to go.
So this is the decider.
Here we go. Which Formula One driver announced his
car? Robert.
Steve.
Steve.
Stephen?
Who
was it? Stephen?
Sebastian Vettel.
Wow. Stevie takes it. On the buzzer. Well done, Stevie boy. I'm going to get Leroy to play that back to you. Just see who got in first.
He treated Nate like a whipping boy there. Steve, you had to start and reeled him in.
But you're taking the family to Melbourne Public for dinner. Congratulations. Dispense with Nate Brown.
I much prefer Beat the Chief than that. I think it lacks a little bit, that
No, I like
segment.
It.
Stevie, well done. Brownie.
Triple M rocks footy.
It's party time.
Up until 2003, the Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week was the tallest player in AFL history. He played 147 matches for the Dockers and Kangaroos across a 12-year AFL career.
Now he handballs back to him. Spider-Man to cap off his career. Falling legs working in unison.
please welcome Matthew Spider Burton.
Oh, this man, much loved part of the AFL fraternity, joins us on Friday Night Football on the Huddle. Mark Howard here, Spider. Nice to speak to you. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Harry. Thanks for having me, mate.
Hey, great to have you on. Who first gave you the nickname Spider?
I made it high school, so I'd stuck from high school all the way through. So it was one of those things that the all arms and all legs, and you should have seen me when I was about 15. I was the same height and about 80 kilos, so African school kids were sending me money. And it just stuck from there. So
there we go. Spider, what are you up to now? The boys have got a lot of footy questions for you, but I always like to know what the ex-footballers are doing. What are you up to?
I live in Perth. I lived in Melbourne for a long time post-game. Post-retirement.
Yep.
And married a West Australian girl, and I put her in a pretty serious breeding program, and we've got four girls, so it was a bit hard to with no grandparents in Perth, so we've moved back here and like this way of going, so it's great.
Beautiful.
Hey, Spider, great to chat to you. We marvel when we sit in the rooms at the height of the current midfielders. Paddy Cripps is sort of Wayne Carey's height, and the ruckman are getting bigger and more athletic. I mean, clearly at 211 centimetres, not many have gone past you, if any. I'm not sure if we've had a 7 foot yet. Mason Cox is pretty close. Do you look at the athleticism of the current ruckman Spider and are blown away by how well they move?
For sure, Das. And they're amazing athletes now. Like, they're way better players than we were. I mean, I understand they're better trained, but they are phenomenal. And then just on your point, I'm sort of proud that I played a small role. You know, Justin Madden was supposed to be the last of the dinosaurs, and then I was. And then Aaron Sanderlands came along, and you know, it's just growing. There's almost one, you know, really, really, you know, 7 foot player on each list now. So I'm proud to play a small role in that.
Spidey, you had 4 years at the Kangaroos, 5 years at Fremantle, but not many people know that you spent 4 years on a list at the West Coast Eagles and didn't play a game. Tell us about your early days.
Oh, yeah, I was a pretty shit player back then, bro. Oh, mate, I was just happy to be on their list. And to be quite honest, I was 21 going on 12 in maturity in the mind, and just happy to be on their list. And I look upon it now as a 50-something-year-old man that it was probably an opportunity to let go, you know, like there was probably a spot there for a ruckman. They always used to play two ruckmen back in those days, but, you know, I just wasn't up to it. So, but, you know, so shit happens, yeah.
You want to talk about maturity now. I don't know what your memory's like, Spider. Mine's poor at the best of times, but one thing I do remember, we were playing against you, and I don't know if it was Freo or North, but there was someone was having a shot for goal and I was standing on the goal line. And you know, sometimes you just get this feeling there's a presence around you. I looked up and this bloke's just staring down on top of me from 7 foot with this stupid smile on his face that made me laugh. You did have a sense of humour on the field, didn't you?
Yeah, mate, I like having a good time wherever I am. And, you know, life's so serious and footy can be too serious, actually. All the coaches reckon they're curing cancer, but... you know, I like to have a good time. So, yeah, so listen, I don't remember the time, Jace, but I definitely, that was more my attitude, mate.
Yes. Spotty, you became a cult figure in your journey through the AFL. Where are your fondest memories, Dockers or Ruse?
Yeah, a combination of both. You know, Freo gave me the start. Like, you know, I came from a long way back even just to get on that list. And then to go to North after they'd won the 99 Premiership was a real surprise. You know, I thought I was gone and done. And I fell in love with that place really, really quickly. You know, it was really quite easy to with, you know, the blokes at your feet like Stevens and Blakey and Simpson and Shannon Grant and Boomer Harvey and Benny Robbins. And I've forgotten one or two as well. So it's a good question, Damo, but, you know, it's a combination of both you know, I had a lot of fun and I still have a lot of fun just because of footy. So that's probably been the luckiest part.
And last time I checked it, you were very keyed into what was going on at North Melbourne at the best of times. Have you got some intel on who's going to be the next coach?
No. I had dinner with Steve about a month ago, but he doesn't let much out anymore. So, you know, let's hope they, choose someone well and jump up that ladder really, really quickly.
You mentioned a dinner with Steve. How often do you get to catch up with former teammates and who do you catch up with more often than not?
Yeah, like every stage of life, you always take two or three people with you, and you know, I got some good Freo mates, and then Steve O and Lee Colbert are good friends, and I see a lot of Adam Simpson because he's here. So it's those sort of guys that I hang out with, and that was the beauty about going to North Melbourne, and just those magnificent people that you run into.
Spidey would have played a fair bit against our great ruckman here in Luke Darcy. Hopefully you played him in the first three games of his career, because he actually played three full games and failed to register one kick, one handball, or even one hit out in the first three games. So what were your recollections of playing against Darcy?
Darcy was a good player. Him and Scotty Wine, the big two when I first started. So then Scotty retired and Darcy took it on. So, yes, yeah, very good player. Listen, the two of us probably weren't the hardest ruckman to play, you know, so against each other, no corkies at the end of that game. Darcy, is that fair enough?
Very happy to own that, Spidey. A bit of self-preservation, and no, it was always good fun playing on Big Spider.
I knocked out one player, and it was teammate Johnny Blakey.
And before we let you go, sorry, Spider, before we let you go, what type of business, what type of industry you're in?
I'm in financial advice. I started in Melbourne, so that's why I go there quite a bit. So obviously, pre this COVID stuff, but I still go to Melbourne quite a bit, and have a lot of Melbourne clients and Perth clients, and it goes pretty good, mate.
He advises my parents, Howard.
He advises your parents.
Yes, Greg and Michelle.
And Nathan is very senior in the cryptocurrency world, Spider. And last year, it's all we heard about. Hasn't spoken about it since round four. What are you advising those in the crypto space like Nate that possibly haven't told all their family members how much they've invested?
Yeah, it's sort of like when the plane's going down, isn't it? Grab your ankles.
hey, Spider, before we let you go, the four girls, four daughters, that's a great effort. Are they athletic? Are they sporting? Are they tall? What do the girls do?
Yeah, they're not freakishly tall, but, you know, they're all 6 foot, the four of them. They're all sort of 16 and above. One of them's on the West Coast Fever rookie list, so she doesn't go bad at netball. I married a netball player, so there is a bit of sporting ability between the four of them, when they're trying and when they're not staring at their phones.
Yeah. Hey, Spider, it's great to chat with you, mate. Great to hear you've got a wonderful family behind you as well. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle. Look after yourself.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Great to speak to Spider Burton. So he advises...
He does, Greg and Michelle. Put him on to them a long time ago through a former teammate of ours, Brad Weirer, who was doing the AFLPA stuff as well. So.
And are they as... prepared to take on risk as you are in the investment space?
No, they do okay. They do okay.
Slightly different risk profile, okay. I would suggest. He didn't have a great deal of advice for you with your crypto.
It's just a hold now, Chief. It's just a hold. When you're that far in, you just hold on and it will bounce back.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
And two goals gone through the protected area.
Yeah. Triple M rocks footy.
We are leading up to the game between the Fremantle Dockers and the Melbourne Football Club. Always very nice to be joined by people involved in football on the night of the game. It's our pleasure on the Friday Huddle to welcome the GM of AFL Football Performance at the Melbourne Football Club. His name is Alan Richardson. Mark Howard here. Richo, nice to speak to you. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, Howie. No, good to be here.
Hey, start with your best weather report for us, because apparently there's been a lot of rain. I think they've resurfaced part of the ground from what I read during the week.
Yes, no, you've got good mail. Right now, there's a bit of wind. There's no rain. We're expecting a little bit of rain, but not too much, so that probably means it's going to piss down for most of the night. But no, the ground, you're right, there's a big part on the wing that has been relayed. It looks pretty good, actually. Time will tell whether it comes up with the weight of the players and aggressive change of direction, etc. But it looks pretty good. All our blokes have walked over it and they feel pretty comfortable. I imagine Fremantle have done the same.
It's been a funny season for the D's, Richo, when you think about winning 10 games straight and not really finding their best form and then genuinely struggling the last couple of months. I kind of keep expecting Melbourne to find their best again, but it just doesn't automatically happen. What's holding them back?
A couple of things, Josh. There's a little bit of us, I reckon. There's a bit of,
most of those games, with the exception of, I'm talking about our losses here, except for the Geelong game down there, we've been in pretty good positions, you know, around 25 points average, I reckon, in terms of lead and let that go. So just a bit of complacency, I reckon, from our end. There's certainly some opposition stuff that's happened that we haven't quite coped with. Particularly the three in a row, when it went 3-0, Sydney, Collingwood, there's some stuff the opposition did that I reckon we've learned from. Certain teams defend a certain way. Our defence, with the exception of last week, 110 points against the Dogs, has still been pretty strong. There's no dramas there. Our contest has still been pretty strong. It's just some of our flow and our ball movement, even though we kicked 100 last week, has been a bit of a challenge for us at times. But the group continues to learn and grow, and that's our focus, to make sure we keep doing that in the lead-up.
Ellen, do you draw parallels with what's happened in the past 8 weeks? You've had the 3 wins, 5 losses in that period. So what happened last year? You started the season with a 9-win streak, and then you had 9 weeks of 4 wins, 4 losses, and 1 draw. You're able to get yourself out of that. Do you see similarities this year to what you experienced last year?
We don't really look at last year, Domo. We think that's pretty dangerous. We're just looking at this year, and we're looking at our focus is to continue, and it was at the start of the year. You know, how do we give ourselves the best opportunity to do what we did last year, and that is to continue to improve and grow as individuals and as a team. And that's the way we review our performance. We're pretty strong in the way that we want to play and we want to set the game up, and that is to be a forward half team and to be really strong in the contest. And so it's pretty simple, but that's what we look at. That's what we analyse. We don't spend a lot of time comparing this year to last year. Last year's done. It was a brilliant year for us. This is a new challenge.
Richo, is the forward half of the ground the thing that's concerning you? Like last year, and I know you don't want to talk about last year or compare it, but Neil Bullen, Spargo, Malksham, Pickett, their pressure was outstanding. You couldn't get the ball out of that area, and it was just multiple entries. 0 tackles inside forward 50 last week against the Western Bulldogs. Is that the area you're most concerned with at the moment?
It's an area that's been a bit of a challenge for us, Brownie. Yeah, and that's a little bit of when Jason asked before, in terms of comparing to last year, what is the difference? Or comparing the back end of this year so far compared to 10 in a row. And it's been the opposition have, once they've found a mark, and let's say we win clearance, the ball goes in, the opposition either mark the ball or find a mark off that play, they're hanging on to the footy a little bit. They're not giving us the opportunity to apply pressure. And so that's a challenge for us. We need to do whatever we can to make sure they don't get that first play away. We either try and or had a heightened focus on trying to score on that play. But if not, that they don't get out. And that's, you know, that's us at our best. And that's certainly been a focus. No, you're right there.
Hey, Richo, Max Gorn's had just the most remarkable time in the game and his impact. But he's got some challenges coming after him. Tim English had a good battle last week. And Sean Darcy is a really improving ruckman. That'll be pretty critical tonight, you would think.
Yeah. And Jacko will play a really important role there as well. You know, that combination obviously has been really good for us. English was amazing last week, particularly in the second half of the game. He's a proud man, Gorney. You know, if he feels like he's lower his colours or he gets feedback that even if he doesn't agree that he's lowered his colours, you can expect a pretty strong fight back, and that's what we'd expect from Gorney tonight. He's our captain. He's a very proud man. He's a bloody good player. So I think he'll be very, very physical and really quite aggressive tonight.
Love it, Richo. We appreciate your time on the night of the game. Best of luck to you and the Melbourne Football Club tonight.
Good on you guys. Thanks for that.
Great to speak to Alan Richardson, giving us the insight on what's happening at Melbourne. We were talking about commentators before, just watching the 7 Commonwealth Games coverage, which has just started. Firstly, is the footy or the Comm Games on the main channel tonight, or you don't know? I presume it's the Comm Games. The footy. They're going on the footy. Well, what I was going to say is if you're looking at for a TV host, Hamish McLaughlin, I don't think there's any better in the country, is there?
Very polished hammer.
He's very, very, very.
Certainly no better MC, is there? Certainly no better MC at a massive function.
Elite. He's an elite operator.
As Abby Jelmy alongside him does a very fine job as well. So looking forward to...
When are you popping up on the coverage?
They tend to save me, Howie.
Just for the Olympics?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Don't do Commonwealth Games, just Olympics.
Well, I was with you in Delhi in 2010,
Howie. Yes, we went to Delhi together.
That's right. I have...
Is that the golf incident?
Yeah, that
there
was
a few incidents over in Delhi. Yeah,
a dart called the most amazing netball game ever played in the history of the Commonwealth Games.
Best
and
sporting events I've ever been at, actually. To be honest,
and actually, I've heard you talk about that before.
We got time to talk about darts.
You've really got some feedback from me, have we? I'm due.
I'm being told we need to take a break, but that's what we call in the industry a tease. Have you got something?
Really?
Just give us something.
Look at Nate. He's been sitting on this.
Something a little bit more for us.
He's regrouped.
Just something that come across my desk.
Oh, gee, there's an original.
You don't have a desk.
As I said, you blokes have no sizzle.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
He's got some class.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Leading up to the game between the Dockers and the Demons. Big top four clash. The coach of the Dockers, Justin Longmuir, not too far away. But, Nate, you got something just cooking away over there.
I've got something, Howard. And, Dame, I wanted to ask you. So you've been in the AFL media world for a long, long time now. So I think probably one of the longest-serving members. And now you're the chairman of the AFMA. And you do a great job.
Great job.
Do a
really good job.
Now, I'm led to believe that back in the day, so now they only awards for media work in football, so it's on-air talent. So, but I'm under the impression that back in the day they used to give a Player of the Year award out as well as part of that.
Mm. No, your mail's right, Brownie. There was an award given to what was deemed to be the media's collective choice as not just the best player, but the best, I suppose, media operator. But ultimately, you had to have had a good season to be that recipient. Yeah.
So when around would that have finished, do you think?
I can recall it pretty accurately, Brownie. It was 2002.
2002. So who would have had a good year in 2002?
Well,
it was our man over here.
Our man over here.
Who the big, obviously went to the
near-7-foot bean pole.
With his own
he had a very good
speech
year.
Ready to go. And
he
his
prepared
own
a speech for the Brownlow.
He
prepared a speech for the media.
He did prepare a speech for the media. And we've got it on good authority that after this speech, they thought that, well, if we're in the media business, in the entertainment business, we can't have these sort of speeches going out every year. This detracts on what we do. So
I've just cut it up
a little bit. And
so you're saying after he made that speech, the award was banned for good?
Well, they said we can't have this.
What did he do?
I can tell you a bit about what happened that night if you like.
Well, I'd like to hear more.
I'm sure not even refer to that. Yeah.
So let's just listen to the opening.
You got some audio of the
10 or 11 seconds of the night.
Very exciting and very honoured to have won this award. I was just sitting down there and looking around. I didn't quite realise exactly how many of you there were.
How many of you there are? So all of a sudden you've gone, I'm up here, I'm Luke Darcy, I'm a footballer. You guys aren't really in the realm.
Is that actual proper audio, is it?
Yes.
Well, it's from
you were there.
It actually sounds...
I think you made the big mistake. Now, there's people in the media, and we've already had the biggest name in the media on Mike Sheehan, and you don't go Mike at his own awards night. And I felt it was a little bit early that you went him.
Went after Mike.
As a player, you always think you're hard done by at some stage in your career. And I was looking at Mike Sheehan before, and I really didn't used to like Mike. I used to think, geez, he gives me a hard time. And Scott Wine would come on. I like Mike a lot now. I just want to say that too. But
he's crying me a river, Duke. What is wrong with the media?
You've gone after the big chief of the whole media.
That's a very naive young boy up there on stage.
But you thought you were Jerry Seinfeld up there. So there's actual vision to this as well.
Is there really?
You're going from side to side. You've got the smile going. Nobody else is laughing at this point, though, Duke. Nobody's laughing.
We said something that Spud used to say before about how he'd lick himself if he's an icy ball. He also had the glass eye, Spud. The Spud's glass eye would have been bouncing.
He would have been tapping the foot. But I tell you, I get in trouble for saying that I played the best 10 games ever. Now, just have a look at what our man rolled with just after giving it to Mike Sheehan.
Scott Wine had come off the bench. I'd come on and not pumping myself up, turn the game 3 or 4 years ago, have an influence. Mike had write up, geez, Darcy's at the crossroads. But Wine, what an outstanding leader and a great character. I mean, just think, Mike, we're the same game back then.
So
turn the game
you've already gone, Mike. And then you come back and you pumped yourself up that you turn games on a drop of a hat and you've gone again with Mike. But I thought that there wasn't a lot of laughter. There wasn't a lot of jovial. Yeah. It was almost like when Jay went up there.
There's not a lot of laughter at those
everybody.
Nights.
But I thought he'd have to have a zinger for the end. He'd have to have some sort of sign-off zinger where everybody laughs and that Duke Darcy, he's a character, isn't he? But this is what he rolled with at the end.
It's interesting how the wheel turns. I got a message on my mobile phone from Scott Wine today, and it went along the lines of, if I hear your voice on radio again, see you on the front page or the back page of any paper, I will physically spew up. So...
Jeez, what was going on back then?
And on,
that is nauseating to hear.
And you
that.
Had 15 no, well played, pots before you got up there? what were you doing?
I've described that night before. That was an extraordinary night. There was all sorts of stuff going. Damo was the chairman.
You reckon he had a hottie in the car, mate, before he rolled in there?
Wow. This is a really good nugget you found, Brownie.
That might have come from the chairman, has it?
That was a Rick Bartlett offering on social media. He's got all this archival footage, and he's got a lot of this 2002 night, which was broadcast, I think, post the event. But you were a feature of what Rhett put out this week.
That was an extraordinary event to attend, Chief.
You met a few journos that night,
I met a few. Yeah. In respect, I get the call from Damien Glass, our media man, you need to come to the AFL. And I had no idea what was going on and no idea that I was... No, I insist you're going to go. And so
you didn't really have anything prepared. This is natural arrogance that we're hearing coming out from you on the night.
Potentially more disturbing, Chief. Wow. And you're sitting there and you're going, these are all the people that write, you know. It's a very different time back in 2002. Half an hour into the night, one of the journos was so intoxicated, a wheelchair was called to get someone out of that event.
Who was that? Well, name names.
It was a long time ago.
Is that night? Okay, that
was
that
night.
That was that night.
And
it was
a long time ago.
No, and Damo's warning me off that one. So shaking his head, but there was.
Who was it, Warrior?
No, it doesn't matter.
Damo knows who we're talking.
It matters to us. It matters to
everybody listening.
But on top of that, Chief, you know, how old are you? You know, 20-odd. And they got everyone who hated each other to present next to each other on the night. So Tim Lane gets up alongside Eddie McGuire, and they're having ripping Barney. And it just was open sledging. Makes us look like we weren't even trying here. And there were all these wars going on that I wasn't aware of in the media. You get up on stage and people would be jeering at people. And
Matured a little bit over the journey.
I had one young journo offer to sell me some stuff on the night as well. Thought I might have been interested in.
Well, it sounds like from your speech you had a crack at it, to be fair.
Potentially, when I look back. But that is extraordinary.
Look, can we hear the grab again, Leroy, where he talked about 3 years ago he used to dominate games and win games. Do you know which order that was in, Leroy? The third one.
Scott Wine had come off the bench. I'd come on. And not pumping myself up, turn the game 3 or 4 years ago, have an influence. Mike could write up.
Turn the game.
Catch up with Nathan.
It is.
Wasn't just a game of footy, Howie. He's talking about the game of football.
Oh, stop.
Now that I said we should have gone with that off the top, you happy with that now?
I think we should have. Yeah. We buried the lead, as they say, Damo. What were you thinking?
That's nauseating.
I hope young Sam hears this.
It's not wheeled out.
That would be... No, we can't go with that. But
is it someone still in the media?
No. No, not that. I can't actually remember, to be honest with you. But I do remember seeing the people that work in the media just have a fair crack at the night, Chief.
Do you feel like taking a flamethrower to them that night was the right way to go?
Probably not in hindsight. Probably didn't stand me in that good a stead.
So there's no more AFMA Player of the Year award.
That was the end of it.
Yeah, basically.
And listening to it back, fair enough, too. Yeah, that's.
I want you to show that to Sam. And show him this is not what to do in the media, you young bloke. Hey, last week we brought up the unicorn.
Yes,
which
you did this.
Was the player that we were trying to judge met all three criteria of the way I look at footballers, Chief, that they were bums on seats, that they were a cult hero, and they were a heart and soul of the footy club. Now, I got many. It surprised me how many people listened to the podcast of this show, because they were still coming this morning. A bloke sent me a message from Singapore saying I was listening to your podcast. I've got a lot of suggestions. I want you to.
We went with Richo. Richo is our clubhouse leader.
I sent you one last week.
Hang on. We'll bring that man right up because he was the most nominated. I'll come to him at the end.
Re-establish the criteria.
So you've got to be bums on seats. So you've got to be an entertainer. You pay to watch this person play football.
So bums on seats is Chris Judd. You're going to watch Chris Judd.
Chris Judd, Jeff Farmer.
You bring people through the turn.
Cyril, Buddy.
Yep.
The heart and soul of the footy club, you're Lenny Hayes, which is worked against Stevie Milne, because I thought he was right up there. So you're the heart and soul of the footy. Who's the heart and soul of your footy club, Chief, in your day?
Oh, there are a heap of them.
Okay.
A lot of them.
Right,
A little bit more specific.
Yeah.
I can't think of any.
Well, no. Gary Ayres.
Yeah, Gary Ayres. So he's a heart and soul man. So and then you need a cult figure, which is a difficult one. That might be a Jake King because of the way that he's been commented on.
Is this the most unique of the three characters in terms of the overall
Happer? Yeah, Warwick, it's harder. So you have to be supported by supporters outside your own team and possibly outside your own sport. So these are the lists that I've been given. I reckon there's two, possibly three. But I want your opinion, just yes or no, and tell me why no. So we're not having a go at these people as footballers, just whether they meet the three categories. I was suggested Nathan Buckley.
No.
Because he didn't meet which criteria?
I think it's more the cult figure element of that.
Definitely heart and soul.
Yep.
Adam Goods. Bums on seats, yes. Cult figure.
He's a very close cult.
Probably definitely not a cult figure.
Not a cult figure.
Definitely heart and soul.
Toby Green. Bums on seats, yes.
He's getting close. I reckon he's getting close.
Close.
Yeah.
Is he the heart and soul of the footy club?
If you speak to people at the footy club, yes, he is.
Yeah, they absolutely love him.
So I reckon he falls down and only he's a cult figure. He's nearly a cult figure.
It's your harsh very much
a cult figure. Chief?
Yeah. He just about ticks all boxes
for me. Okay, so let's put a little mark nomination
next to,
is there
next to Richo.
Toby Green. Tex Walker. Bums on seats, heart and soul, don't think he's a cult figure.
Mm. Yeah, not sure Tex has got all three. We this love
one,
Tex, but
this one surprised me. Chad Corns.
Big Chadwick.
Any? I don't think Chad's getting all three, is he?
Pretty hard to get all three. He's a heart and soul operator, Chad.
Tony Lockett.
Wow.
Bums on seats.
He may struggle with the heart and soul one because he was never there.
Yep, there you go.
And he didn't know his teammates' names either, which probably counts against
Bucky. Luke Hodge.
Ooh, yes.
Heart and soul.
Is he bums on seats, though? He's not a cult figure for me. He's not a cult figure.
Is he bums on seats?
Hodgie was.
Yep. Yeah, I reckon he was, just for his toughness.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. Is it? I mean, he's elite at everything.
Now, this is where it starts getting to me, the real pointy end. These are the three where I was like, ooh, okay. Nick Natanui. Do you pay money to watch Nick Natanui play football?
I do.
Yep.
It's a ruckman.
Yeah, but
cult hero for
he's
sure.
He's a cult hero.
Yeah,
so this is the hard one to answer. Is Nick Natanui heart and soul?
Well, from what I've been told, yes. I've been told he mentors a lot of people in that footy club in ways that he doesn't want
known
publicly.
Shannon Hearn strikes me as the heart and soul.
Okay,
the list goes
right up. So
there can be more than one heart and soul in this era.
Not often.
Is this part of the criteria? Is only one heart and soul?
No, it's not. Not in an era. That's what cost Steve Milneau last week because he was bums on seats. He was a cult figure, but you boys said Lenny Hayes was the heart and soul.
Yeah, but
so
there can be more. There can be more.
So Nick Nat's close.
Yep,
Nick Nat's in the equation.
Very close. Yep, very. Yep.
This is. I'll need your expertise here, Chief. Darren Mullane.
Ooh.
Oh, pants.
Was he a bums on seats man?
Yeah, he was for Collingwood people.
Yeah. Yeah, for Collingwood people. What about opposition?
There was an admiration.
He's a bloody good player.
Yeah.
Really good player.
Well, I'm not getting a yes, though. I'm not getting a strong yes,
probably
Chief.
Falls just short.
Yeah. I couldn't have him on all three fronts, though.
Okay, so we'll put a cross through him. Now, this is the one that came up time and time again. Ooh. Now, this is the one that I think...
Is this the one Nate threw up?
Yeah, Nate as well. And about eight different people went this man. This rivals Richo, not as a footballer, but meeting all criteria. Sam Draper. Cult hero? I think we'd have to say yes.
Yeah.
This is the bit that I query. Bums on seats.
No.
This is what I said to Nathan. Nate thought he was.
No, he's a ruckman.
Right. Well, I think he's getting very close to bums on seats. So last week, you're getting back, you're taking big marks in the defensive end, you're tackling blokes, you're hard as nails, you've got the hair, then you're going and kicking bananas and high-kneeing it back to the middle. I like to see that. I'd pay to... If I'm going to watch an Essendon game, I'm watching him over any other player on that list right now.
It's been a good fortnight.
I was going to say, Brownie, what about the first 9 weeks of the season?
That's a no. We've got to take a break, so that's a no. So Richo is still, we'll continue through the season. Richo's still our clubhouse leader, I think, from that. We're at a couple of close.
Toby Green's close.
Toby Green's in second, is he?
Triple M rocks footy.
How good has this been?
Kogan Mobile, this is the Triple M Friday Huddle. Switch to Kogan Mobile for $2.90 for 30 days with a big 20 gig of data. Always a treat to chat to a senior coach on the night of a game. Justin Longmuir, the coach of the Fremantle Dockers, joins us on the line from the West. Mark Howard here. Coach, how are you? Good evening.
G'day, lads. How are you?
Hey, great to speak to you. A couple of, one change for your team, a couple of big changes. Lobb comes in, Nat Fyfe goes back out. For all the Fremantle fans out there, how is Nat, how's his hammy, and when would you hope to get him back in the side?
Yeah, we think it's pretty standard hammy, to be honest, Howie. So, yeah, we're thinking he'll be back for the GWS game, which is, yeah, around 23. So good to have Lobby back in the team. He allows the structure up really well down forward, and, you know, clearly he's our second ruck, so he's an important cog in our wheel, and it's good to have him back.
What was the conversation around the footy club when he rolled up with that dyed blonde hair?
He actually did it the day before a game. Yeah, a few of the boys were a little bit shocked. And it looked a lot worse than when he first did it than what it does now. It was had an orange tinge to it. So, he embraced it. So he forced all the other players to embrace it. I had to embrace it as a coach. Seeing he did it the day before a game. So I think it might have been the day of the game I first saw it. So young punks these days.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly right. Hey, Justin, it's interesting people talking about Nat Fyfe, and if Freo are going to win, he needs to play a big role for you. We kind of forget that he basically has had nothing to do with Freo getting into the position they're in, and the fact that you're functioning so well as a team without relying on one or two players, is it almost being disrespectful, people saying you can't win it without Nat Fyfe?
Maybe. I haven't heard a lot of that. Maybe that's been said over there, but yeah, you're right. We have got into this position without him, and I don't think we've been relying on any one person this year. I know we've had some players have really good years, but you know, I think we've relied on the collective, and that's what's got us here, so that's what we've been focusing on this week.
Justin, the evolution of Hayden Young has been something pretty special this year. You obviously took him as a very high-end draft pick, but he's tracking just beautifully to this point of his career. Has that progress hastened itself? Are you surprised how quickly he's become the elite player?
Oh, not really, to be honest. He's got a pretty mature body, and he's got a really mature mind and brain. And ever since him and Caleb came to the club, they've gone about their business like, you know, 200 gamers, to be honest. So they've really been able to fast-track their careers. You know, I think Youngie's played 30 games, so... yeah, and he's been a really reliable part of our defence for, you know, nearly 18 months now. So, yeah, that's a sign of his maturity and football ability.
Another bloke down back that's having a really good year, I think, is Brennan Cox, Justin. What's he like as a bloke? He looks a little different, looks a touch relaxed, and you know what I mean?
I think you've read that one pretty well, Jake. Yeah, him and Luke Ryan are, yeah, best mates, and they bring a pretty jovial sort of side to their personalities to the club, which is great. You know, they've had a fair bit of work to do on their professionalism across the years as well, because they do get drawn to the wrong areas in the off season and off field sometimes. But both of them have become, you know, really professional footballers, yep. And Cox has built himself an AFL body now, and he's able to mix it with everyone, all the players that he plays on, and he's got some real strengths in his game that we're starting to see week in, week out.
Hey, you must have huge confidence in Heath Chapman. Hasn't played a lot of football, but the job on Shea Bolton last week, who got going early, but then I thought a lot of critical one-on-ones, I thought Heath Chapman did his job beautifully.
Yeah, he did. You know, he was Bolton was on the end of, you know, Pearce's clanger kick, and he got another goal on someone else as well. So I thought Chappie did a really good job. And I think that's been our mantra over the last couple of years is, you know, give our young players big jobs so that we can fast-track their development. And, you know, Chappie's, like I said about Youngie, he's just a really mature person and a really professional player. And he prepared really well last week and got the job done, and we'll need the same out of him tonight.
And, Justin, every player's got a huge role tonight, obviously, for obvious reasons. Sean Darcy, though, has got a particularly onerous responsibility against Max Gawn and Luke Jackson. He's having a good season, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Probably feel like maybe the last couple of weeks his form's dropped off a little bit, Shawnee's, but it's probably mainly around his contested marking. Oh, I think his ruck work has been really strong, so he's been working really hard at that side of the game, and hopefully he gets back to his best in the contest tonight, because, yeah, as you mentioned, him and Lobby are going to have a big job against their two rucks.
Is there a team to beat, Justin? I mean, have you seen a standout? Is it Geelong? Is it Melbourne, given what they did last year? It just looks very open.
Yeah, probably Geelong at the moment, because they're probably playing their most consistent, best footy. And I think other teams below them, and us included, are still trying to find that best footy that was played early in the year. And Melbourne are a little bit the same. Their best is very good, but they probably haven't been as consistent as they would like. So I'd say Geelong at this stage.
Thank you very much, Coach. We appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Dockers tonight.
Good on you, lads. Thanks.
Great to speak to Justin Longmuir. I just got a couple more that I've been sent on social media. People are claiming these three are unicorns, so we'll just continue the debate a little bit longer. One of them is, I think Heart and Soul is going to cost these blokes, but one of them is up there to challenge Richo, I reckon. Dane Swan? Is he bums on seats?
He's got a bit of...
As harsh as
all
it sounds.
Three, but does he have all three, as 100%?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm with you.
You're right.
He's a 70%er in most areas.
These two where it starts to get pretty strong, I think. Stevie J, bums on seats. I'm watching Stevie J play footy.
Yep, there's a tick there.
Not sure he's the heart and soul.
There we go. Cross through Stevie J. This one, Michael is vehement on this. He sent me it last week. I should have mentioned it this week. He's very strong to the point where he's getting angry that this man hasn't been considered. Peter Dacos. Bums on seats.
Yep.
Cult figure.
Yep.
I'm saying yes. So this is where it comes down to the final decider. Heart and soul.
Well, that's the difficulty, isn't it? I mean, you'd need to speak to people that were at the club at the time. It's hard to say.
Tony Shaw was very much the,
you know.
Yeah, like when I say Peter Dacos, you don't immediately go, oh, he's the heart and soul of the footy club. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
So, Michael, thank you. Don't get too upset.
He's got every right to be angry with you.
Yeah, Richo's still the clubhouse leader. Our producer, I know he's had another child, but he's just logged off. So I'm going to say we're meant to be throwing a break.
The big ruckman's been sitting out there for the last day.
Dark's gone out there. Do you know what's happening in the show, Dars? Am I going to a break or what are we doing?
Such a good job,
We just spoke to a coach.
I enjoyed that, Justin Longmuir.
I just got a text message from Chris Judd who said that Duke Audio is the best audio Triple M has ever produced.
You know what? It's rocked me that. It's genuinely rocked me. I've gone out and had to reassess and think, geez, I was a genuine tool that night. I can't believe that exists.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.